Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International and welcome to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The time right now is 10 minutes past 10. And we commence this beautiful morning with Monday Morning Focus. And this morning, we're focusing on ways of boosting your confidence. I think that is something that all of us really need to know how to do, inshallah. So I'll be sharing with you a few important pointers. So inshallah, hopefully it will be of benefit to you. So we're going to look at the benefits of self-confidence, the benefits of boosting your self-confidence, and some of the things to do, inshallah. And that will be followed by that's the second segment. And in this segment, I'll be speaking to Dr. Hajra Abed. She's a energy medicine specialist. And this morning, we'll be talking more about Module 3. That's a workshop that's been taking place this whole year. We've been having these workshops, alhamdulillah. And this one, Module 3, is called Change Your Mind, Change Your Life. And that's coming up around about 10:30, inshallah. So she's going to tell us more about what this workshop is all about, inshallah. And so that's basically what we have for you. And I hope, if you do have any questions or concerns, you can call in, while the program is on the number to dial 011-854-1548 with any of your questions or concerns, inshallah. Okay, so let's get back to boosting your confidence. And you know that we all, many, many people of us struggle, struggle with confidence. And what is self-confidence? Now, it's actually defined as a feeling of trust in one's abilities or in one's qualities and, of course, also in one's judgment. And self-confidence is also important to your health and your psychological well-being. In fact, having a healthy level of self-confidence can help you become a very successful person in your personal and in your professional life, inshallah. So let's look at some of the benefits of self-confidence. When you believe in yourself, you'll be more willing to try things, or especially new things, if you believe in yourself. Whether you apply perhaps for a promotion, or maybe you sign up for maybe just a cooking class or a baking class for that matter, the fact is, if you believe in yourself, that is the key to putting yourself out there. So, you need to believe in yourself. You need to take that first step. And you can only take that first step if you feel that you are, if you have the self-confidence in you. Sometimes we stand out there and we want to do things, but we keep delaying. It's because we don't have that self-confidence. If you say, I want to do this, but, you think of 100 excuses why you cannot do it. I'm guilty of it too, and I'm sure many people out there are, we're all guilty of doing this, that we put things off. Not because we can't do it, but because we just sometimes feel, we're always looking for reasons not to be able to get down and do what we have to do. So, we need to actually, put ourselves sometimes into a situation, and it can make a difference. Now, they say when you feel confident in yourself, you're able to devote your resources to the task at hand, rather than waste time and energy worrying that you aren't good enough. So, that's what we rather do. We waste time thinking that we are not good enough. You can also devote your energy to your efforts. So, ultimately, you'll perform better when you feel confident. For example, if you feel confident about a presentation that you're going to make, or speech for that matter, your whole focus will be on delivering your message to your audience. But if, however, you lack confidence in your ability to communicate, you may, once again, waste your time worrying that perhaps no one is listening to you, or you might be so preoccupied with that you end up messing it up anyway. Consequently, you might struggle to concentrate and you may stumble over your words. And of course, that's bad because this will reinforce your belief that you are bad at giving presentations or perhaps giving a speech. So, you know, we make ourselves out to be, we lose our self-confidence and we make ourselves to be, you know, we end up messing it up so much and wasting so much thinking about how we cannot do it that we actually end up not being able to do it. Fortunately, you know, there are some things that you can actually do to boost your self-confidence. Now, whether you lack confidence in one specific area or you struggle to feel confident about anything, you know, some of these strategies that I'll be sharing with you, inshallah, would perhaps help you out there. Inshallah. I think it's helped me, so I'm sure it's going to help anybody out there, inshallah. Okay, so let's go through them. The first one is to stop comparing yourself to others. Now, I know, you know, we all have this habit of thinking, you know, I can't be like that one. And I would like to be like that, but I cannot be like that person. So we need to stop comparing ourselves to others. This is the most important thing. You are you. So I am what I am, and I'm going to do what I can do. So whether you compare how you look to your friends or you compare your salary to your friend's income, comparisons aren't healthy. There was a study in 2018 that was published in the Personality and Individual Differences, and they found that there was a direct link between envy and the way you feel about yourself. So there is a link between envy and the way you feel about yourself. And researchers found that people who compare themselves to others experience envy. And the more envy they experience, the worse they felt about themselves. And it can be a vicious circle. It's true. You know, if you think that that person is better than you and that person is doing much better than you and earning more money than you, so they're better than you, then you're going to start feeling that way, you know. And basically what it boils down to is that you are actually envious of that person. So paying attention to times when you compare your wealth, perhaps your possessions for that matter, your skills, your achievements, and your attributes. Thinking that other people are better or have more will erode your confidence in yourself. So, you know, if you see somebody doing well, instead, be happy for them. You know, but don't think now because they have more that they better than you or they can do things and they better than you. No, just be happy for them, but don't let it in any way interfere with you. So when you notice you are drawing comparisons, then remind yourselves that doing so isn't helpful. Everyone is running their own race and life isn't a competition. So be happy for whatever else others can do that you perhaps cannot do, but don't think, you know, that they are better than you and, you know, I cannot do it because I am not like that. No. You know, our lives, like they say, is not a competition. And I always stress on this is if somebody is doing better than you, then be happy for them. And, you know, it will just work out for you as well, inshallah. Okay, so that's the first one. Stop comparing yourself to others. It's very important. Do not compare. You know, even your children, we should never compare our children to each other. Don't compare this child to the other child because every child is an individual. Every person, for that matter, is an individual. Everyone has different ideas and everyone is made differently. So we need to understand that. Then the second point is to take care of your body. This is also very important. It's hard to feel good about yourself if you're abusing your body, right? You know, we have this habit of not sleeping enough, not eating. We end up eating unhealthy foods. We don't do our exercise. All of this will take a toll on our bodies and our being. You know, it's important for us to sleep well, eat well, and do exercise. That can't be stressed enough. I think every health practitioner that comes in would tell us about that. And studies consistently show that physical activity boosts your confidence. Now, you know, they talk about the happy hormone, which is called the serotonin. And when you do exercise, you do feel better. You feel so good about yourself. And it's this, hormone that comes in. They call it the happy hormone because it makes you feel good. It makes you feel happy. So physical activity will, set off this happy hormone called serotonin, and it will make a difference in your life. In fact, a study in 2016 that was published in Neuropsychiatric Disease and Treatment found that regular physical activity improved participants' body image. And when their body image improved, they felt more confident. So they say make self-care a priority, and when you're feeling at your best physically, you'll naturally feel more confident about yourself. So eat healthy, exercise, alhamdulillah, and, sleep well. And alhamdulillah, this will make a difference in your life. So that's the second one. So first one is stop comparing yourself to other people, and then also take care of your body. Very important. If your body feels good and if you feel good, then obviously, everything else will follow. Then the other thing is, or the third one is to practice self-compassion. Now, self-compassion obviously involves treating yourself with kindness when you make a mistake or you fail or you experience some setback in your life or the other. Something bad happens to you. But you always need, we are so harsh on ourselves. We don't realize it, but we are very, very harsh on ourselves. And they say you need to be kind to yourself first. Speaking to yourself harshly won't motivate you to do anything better. In fact, studies once again shows it tends to have the opposite effect. Another study in 2009 that was published in the Journal of Personality found that self-compassion contributes to more consistent confidence. Self-compassion contributes to more consistent, confidence for that matter. So thinking that everyone messes up sometimes as opposed to I'm so stupid or I've ruined everything can actually help you feel even good, make you feel good, even if and when you don't perform as well as you hope. So, we need to be like they say, be kind to yourself. Everybody makes mistakes. But now every time you make a mistake doesn't mean that, I'm useless. No. If you do make a mistake, you must be able to laugh about it or perhaps talk about it and make yourself and realize that, I'm not the only one that makes mistakes. Everyone out there makes mistakes. So you don't ruin everything by just, blaming yourself for everything and you become so harsh towards yourself that you actually become so, you lose all the confidence that you have. They say rather beat yourself up or call yourself names. Try speaking to yourself like you talk to a trusted friend or cut yourself some slack. Laugh at yourself and remind yourself that no one is perfect. There's everybody out there, even the most perfect of person will have a flaw or will be able to make mistakes. And it's just that you need to be able to, push those mistakes away from you. Push it away and say, look, I've made a mistake. I can change it. I can rectify it. And if I can't rectify it, well, this is something that I have to learn from. And I won't do it the next time. But don't let it keep you back. And don't be harsh on yourself. Okay, so the next one, that's to practice self-compassion on yourself. Then embrace self-doubt. Now, sometimes people put off doing things like inviting someone for dinner or you're applying for a promotion, and you also keep yourself back, until you feel more confident. But sometimes the best way to do is to gain confidence. You know, if you want to gain confidence, is actually doing it. Instead of, you know, keep, you know, leaving it and putting it aside and you'll say, okay, I'll do it later. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes it actually works if you just do it. You just go out there and do it. And you'll be surprised at, you know, at the results. Alhamdulillah. They say practice feeling, or you should practice facing some of your fears that stem from lack of self-confidence. If you're afraid you'll embarrass yourself or you think that you're going to mess up, try it anyway. You know, sometimes it keeps us back. But, you know, we always feel, oh, no, you know, I'll be embarrassed, or, you know, things are going to be messed up, or whatever the case may be. But sometimes you just need to put your foot down and say, whatever the consequences, I'm going to try it. And you'll be absolutely amazed at what comes out from it. Well, obviously that doesn't mean you shouldn't prepare or practice, of course. If you're going to be doing something, then don't, you know, just go in and do it. Prepare a little bit. If you have a big, for example, a speech coming up, then practice in front of your friends and your family so that you'll gain some kind of confidence. You know, it really works. And I've seen it happening where, if you have, you know, if you have to go out there and do public speaking and you've never done it before, if you just sometimes put down your foot and say, you know what, I'm going, you always have this fear that it's not going to work out, and I'm so nervous, I'm not going to be able to eat, like I spoke to you earlier about. But the thing is, sometimes when you just go out there and say, I'm going to do it, you know, get your mind, set your mind and say, this is something I want to do and I'm going to do it. But of course, don't just go in there unprepared. Make sure that you're prepared for this. And you'll be amazed. You know, I think it just breaks that ice and you'll be amazed. You'll just be able to do it after that. So it's just that first time. I think the first time you do it is a bit nerve-wracking, but once you do it, you will gain all the confidence that you need. And especially, but like I said, you know, don't go unprepared, obviously. You need to prepare a little. And the best way is, you know, do, if you, for example, giving a speech, like we said, then practice. They say, you know, read it out in front of a mirror, in front of your friends. Try and learn it. And then go out there and actually do it. But don't wait until you feel 100% confident before you proceed, because you might just never get there. So that's the best advice, is don't wait and say, no, I need to be 100% sure I'm going to get this right. And if I can't do it, I won't do it. But I want to, only when it's 100%, because sometimes you will just never get to that 100%. Fortunately, embracing a little self-doubt might actually help you perform better. In another study that was published in 2010 in the Psychology of Sport and Exercise, they found that athletes who embrace their self-doubt outperformed athletes who are 100% confident in themselves. So sometimes being overconfident isn't always good, because, you know, you can actually fall back, and it has been proven. Then you need to perform behavioral experiments. And when your brain tells you that you have no business speaking up in a meeting, or that when you are, you know, you are too out of shape to work out, then, you know, try and remind yourself that your thoughts aren't always accurate. Sometimes, and the best way to deal with negative self-talk is by challenging those statements. So what do you need to do? You know, try doing things that your brain tells you, but you can't. Tell yourself it's just an experiment and see what happens. You know, you might learn that being a little anxious or making a few mistakes isn't as bad as you thought, and each time you move forward, you can gain more confidence in yourself. Now, if perhaps sometimes, just an example is, if you're sitting in a meeting and you're listening to everybody talking, and you're dying to say something, but you are so afraid sometimes to open your mouth and just say what you want to say. And, you know, you have so many doubts. What I'm saying, you know, won't they think I'm being silly, or, you know, it's not the right thing to say at the moment, or I should not say this. Or, you know, you have all these doubts in your mind all the time. But sometimes the best way to do it is to actually just say, you know, and then wait for the results. You'll be surprised sometimes these ideas that you come out with will actually blow away the people sitting around you. And, you know, it will make a big difference to your confidence. So, you know, and even if it isn't something, if your thoughts weren't really what it was, it's okay. So what? I just wanted to say what I thought. And, you know, just use it as an experiment and a learning curve. Right, so that is perform behavioral experiments. So sometimes you need to just do these little experiments to boost your self-confidence. Now, you know, everyone struggles with confidence issues at some time or another, but if your self-confidence issues interferes with your work, your social life, or your education, then obviously you need to seek professional help. Sometimes, in fact, low self-confidence can stem from a bigger issue, like perhaps a traumatic event from the past. And at other times, it may just be a symptom of a mental health problem. You know, we don't realize these things, but if it persists and, you know, you just cannot get out of this, then you need to get professional help. And it is possible to have too much confidence too. So if you're overly confident in your abilities, you might not take any action. And being overconfident about your ability to ace a test, for example, might prevent you from studying. Or assuming that you don't need to practice a presentation could also cause you to be unprepared. So no matter how much of confidence you sometimes have, it's important for you to make sure that you are prepared for whatever you are out, you know, seeking out to do, inshallah. So, yes, it's important to have a healthy dose of self-confidence that will help you perform at your peak, inshallah. Well, once again, I hope these few pointers that I've shared with you would be of benefit to you, inshallah. When we return, we'll be speaking to Dr. Hajra Abed, who is an energy medicine specialist, and we're talking about Module 3 workshop. It's called Change Your Mind, Change Your Life. That's happening in a few moments. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, we have Dr. Hajra Abed, who is an energy medicine specialist, with us online. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Hajra. How are you this morning?
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you, Sister Zeenat? Nice to hear you again.
Alhamdulillah.
And thank you very much for getting me onto your show.
Alhamdulillah, it's wonderful. I hope you had a good weekend, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Tiring. It's always difficult to come back on a Monday morning and settle down and, you know, be very, very pleasant. But look, we're going to be talking about your third workshop, which is called Module 3. It's a Module 3 workshop, and it's called Change Your Mind, Change Your Life. So I think on this Monday morning, we really do need that. But anyway, you know, what do you mean by change your mind, change your life? You know, if you really think of it, if it was so simple, people would change their minds about being miserable to being happy at any time they want to. You know, why is it so difficult to just get that change happening to you?
Okay, well, you see, what is the mind is the tool that we use to think, right? It's a part of us, and it's what generates thoughts. Mm-hmm. So the mind thinks, you know, this is scientific research that says the mind thinks about 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day, out of which 90% is repetitive thoughts, and 95% of those repetitive thoughts are negative. And we also know that whatever you think, you know, your thoughts will create your feelings, and it will create your reality, you know. Say if I'm thinking bad thoughts like, you know, I'm feeling so sick. The emotion that will come up to support that thought may be a feeling of helplessness, for instance. And so my thought is creating my feeling, and my thoughts and my feelings, you know, rethinking all the time, and that is actually creating our reality. So if 95% of your thoughts that you are thinking is negative, you're going to create a negative life for yourself. So the only way you can change your life, really, is to change the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, with the conscious mind, we may say, yes, I want to be happy instead of miserable. But your subconscious mind is what gives your results. And your subconscious mind is only going to give you, it's like a computer, and it's only going to give you what you're programmed with. So, you know, you've got all these programmed beliefs in your subconscious mind that's sitting there since childhood or even before, in the womb already. And so you've got these beliefs sitting there, and the beliefs is what it's what's driving your results and the results that you're getting. So you can say, I want to be happy, but if your subconscious mind is programmed with misery, then that's all you can get. So the whole thing about this workshop is to change the beliefs that you're holding in your subconscious mind that's creating your reality.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Kind of, because I do believe what you say, because, you know, basically if all of this is within yourself. You can do what you want to do with your life, and you can change it the way you, I understand is the way you want things to be must be the way you think it must be.
Yes.
Mm. Anyway, now you're talking about beliefs. Now, even on that flyer, it says our beliefs are subconscious programs that center all aspects of our lives, or rather controls all aspects of our lives. So maybe just explain to us, to me, of course, first, and to our listeners out there, what do you mean by beliefs? What beliefs?
Okay, so a belief is a thought that you hold to be true, and that's got an accompanying emotion. So again, like the example I gave just now, just I've got a belief that says, since childhood, just I had a belief that says I'm not lovable. And that makes me feel really sad. So the belief that I'm not lovable and the sadness that accompanies it is what forms the belief. The thought that I'm unlovable and the emotion of sadness together forms a belief.
Mm.
So those beliefs are sitting in us, in our subconscious minds. We don't even know about who's really controlling the show here, you know. And when I talked earlier about, when I started taking an interest in the mind, I started reading a lot about what Eckhart Tolle was doing at the time. He wrote a book called The Power of Now, and he said that the only time we can, you know, the secret is to be in touch with your present moment, because it's the only time you have. It's the present moment. But we find that our mind will take us into the future and worry about future events that haven't even happened. Or it will take us into the past, into past events that's already happened. And so the mind takes us to, you know, the past or the future, and it keeps us away from the present. And the present is where you actually can change your thinking, change your thoughts. But because we're so controlled subconsciously, and if we don't know it, you know, we kind of like robots, you know, we'll just go, you know, continue with our destiny till we die, unless we make changes and change the beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like the way your life is working out, that's great. You know, if your results are good, that's wonderful. If you're not getting the results you want, you might want to look at changing your beliefs.
Okay. Now, I think, you know, this reminds me of something, and that is when you are young, it is so important for parents to be able to make sure that they don't put all these things into our minds.
Correct, you know? Because that's when it happens.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, sometimes unknowingly, as parents, we do call our children names, and we call them, one of the things I think that really stands out is when we call our children. You know, I hate to use this word, but if you call your child stupid, which we do when we are angry, you know, we call them stupid for every little thing. And that remains in your mind.
Yeah.
And you start believing that, you know, I'm not clever, I'm not intelligent, I'm stupid,
correct.
So what?
Correct.
You know, and I think
this
is so important.
And then you get poor grades at school, and
it makes a huge difference. And if this happens, and you know, a child ends up feeling that way, how do you get them to change the way they believe, those beliefs that they have within themselves?
Well, the thing is, you know, when you're changing any belief, you actually got to know who you really are. So you may have belief, you know, implanted as a child, that you're stupid, for instance, and you grow up with that belief, and you're going to get poor results, you know, coming into your grades and all of that. And the way you're going to change it is actually, come on my workshop, you're going to actually know who you are. And I'm going to, you know, I was supposed to actually start with this, and I don't know why I didn't, because somebody told me at my last workshop, they said, you know, you've got to start your workshops with a verse from Quran. And I brought the Quran down now to read this one verse, but anyway, I don't know where I've put it, but it's chapter 32, Surah Sajidah, and it's verse 9, and where Allah says that, man, I wish I had it here, but it was
something to the effect.
About
yes.
Your,
something to the effect. You can tell me more or less what it is.
Okay, wait, here it is. Let's get it here.
Okay.
It is. It's a very powerful verse, and actually, I do start all my talks, my workshops, with this, with the translation of this verse. And it says, I'm really reading the translation, right? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But he fashioned him in due proportion. This is when we're in the womb, right? So he fashioned him in due proportion and breathed into him something of his spirit. And he gave you the faculties of hearing and sight and feeling and understanding. Little thanks do you give. Now this is so important, you know. Because to me, when I came across this verse in the Quran, it changed my entire life. Because this is not something we are taught, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breathed of his ruh into us while we were still in the womb. So you see, this is actually opens you up to unlimited potential. And so like I said, so if you're trying to change your belief that, you know, I'm stupid, to, hey, hold on. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breathed of his ruh into me. And he is the supreme intelligence force in the universe. So if I've got even a speck of that ruh in me, how can anyone think I'm stupid? How can I think I'm stupid? I have unlimited potential. I have a piece of, you know, it's like Allah's gift to us is the aspect of his ruh that he breathed into us. Our gratitude to Allah should be to be the best we can be in this life. And to do this, we need to actually know who we are. We have to know what higher faculties we have in the brain. You know, we have reason and imagination, and when we learn how to use these higher faculties, we can literally rewrite the program for our lives. You know, once we understand how the brain works, how the mind works. And I want to actually just give you an example of, it's a crash course in physics.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure everyone has learned
this. I'm sure
we'll
want to know that, yes.
But, you know, everything in the universe, you know, exists in matter, and they call it states of matter. So, you know, you're a rock and a tree and all that, all this is matter. So matter can exist in three states, solid, liquid, and gases. So that's everything in the universe, right? Can be a solid, a liquid, or a gas. Now you take a cube of ice, it's a solid, and you heat this ice cube, it will become a liquid. Then you heat it further, it will become a steam, and then vapor and a gas. It will go back to being hydrogen and oxygen. So what has changed from the ice cube to the vapor is the vibration. You see, everything is in a state of motion. It's moving, it's vibrating. Nothing is stationary, nothing is standing still. So now when it's ice, it's not vibrating very fast. As it's becoming water, it starts vibrating faster. These are the molecules of oxygen and hydrogen that make up water. So they'll start vibrating faster. And then when they become steam, they're vibrating much, much faster. And when they go off into the atmosphere as gas, as hydrogen and oxygen, they're vibrating very fast. And why it's important that I'm mentioning this vibration is that our bodies are made of 70 trillion cells, about, right? 70 to 100 trillion cells. These are the bricks that makes up the body. And they're in a state of motion. So if you're feeling negative with your 95% negative thoughts, you're vibrating at a low frequency, at a low speed.
Mm-hmm.
As you start changing your thinking, then that low frequency thought that you are radiating outward also has the emotion linked to it. So I'm feeling stupid. I think I'm stupid. It makes me feel bad. So the thought, I think I'm stupid, goes out as an electric wave. The feeling, I feel bad, goes out as a magnetic wave. So the two go together as an electromagnetic wave out into the field. The field is everything outside of your body. So it goes out into the field, and in that field, every potential exists. So if you're sending out a vibration of sadness and being stupid, in the universe, the field will give you back. So you're sending out a nothing, a wave, and it's going to come back in the physical form, in the material form, as maybe people, you know, treating you like you're stupid, or you get an exam that you just can't do, and it makes you feel more stupid. So our vibration, our thoughts and feelings goes out and brings us what we are getting. And it's not doing this to be nasty. Your vibration is based on your thoughts, your feelings. So it's what you are sending out that you are getting back. Because I'm saying this because we tend to blame the world.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to blame the people around us, our family, our children, the economy, you know, the politics. We tend to blame everything out there for why we're feeling bad or disgruntled. Meanwhile, it's just our own vibration based on our own thoughts and our own feelings. And we have to actually learn this and know this, because this is not taught at schools or at universities even. This is the highest, this is the realm of the highest in the brain sciences today. What they're going to learn is the latest, the most current research in how the brain works, how it stores, like the subconscious mind will store all its data in the body. So all your cells are holding that subconscious mind with its faulty programming and its beliefs. And it's going to be radiating out that vibration of good or bad, and that's what you're going to get.
Very interesting. But we're going to take a short break now. When we return, we will continue talking about this. Please do stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your sister Zinat. My guest online is Dr. Hajra Abed, who is an energy medicine specialist. We're talking about the Module 3 workshop that's going to be taking place soon. It's called Change Your Mind, Change Your Life. And, you know, she's been telling us more about how important it is for us to be able, and I hope I'm right, I've understood you correctly, is that that we are actually responsible for our own state of mind. Is that true?
You know, when I first started studying this thing about the mind, it was actually frightening, you know, because it was, hey, you are responsible. You can't blame anyone or anything. Whoever you are and whatever you're getting is based on your thoughts. And that was actually quite a frightening and not a very nice thought, because it's kind of nice to blame something.
Yeah, we certainly love that,
results.
You know.
But now it was like, hey, responsibility falls squarely on my shoulders for who I am and where I get to, you know, in this world and in the Akhirah. So when I said earlier about the Eckhart Tolle, you know, in his book, The Power of Now, he says that, you know, the mind doesn't stop thinking and you've got to watch it, because he says the thoughts just come in nonstop, and, you know, it's almost like there's a possessing entity controlling your thinking. And that got me thinking, and I thought, yeah, well, hey, you know, are we thinking all these thoughts? Or maybe shaitan, because Allah warns us many times in Quran about shaitan and his whisperings, and whispering to us from a point where we can't see him. So is he playing all our subconscious beliefs? Is he, you know, making us think all these negative thoughts? Is he suggesting all these thoughts to us? And we don't know that he's doing it, and we think we are thinking these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's another thing we must think of. And when the negative thoughts come, oh yeah, if you get any negative thought, just a little tip, is change it immediately for the opposite.
Yes.
You know, and it will actually start changing your vibration. And as your thoughts come up, you can actually start watching the thoughts, because we're not even aware of all these thoughts that come, these 60,000 thoughts. Watch your thoughts for about 10 minutes and ask yourself, which ones am I actually thinking and which ones is my mind thinking, you know?
And you can actually, you can make a difference. I mean, I've attended your first and second workshops on Alhamdulillah. You know, I didn't quite understand it before. But after the second one, it's made a huge difference in my life. And I think it's wonderful to be able to, like you say, you know, stop that thought process, that bad thoughts before they even get into you. So yeah, I really enjoy that. And I think, you know, talking, I'm sure this one is going to be just so great, inshallah. But yeah, maybe you can
Second one, you know, that was clearing the emotions that are stored in the body.
Yeah.
The emotions that you cleared out or are still clearing out, you know, is the effect of the thought. So in actual fact, you've got to actually go first to the mind. My daughter also reminded me this on Friday. And she said, Mom, it's not only emotions. What about the driver that's creating the thoughts, that's creating emotions? And I said, absolutely correct. And this workshop on the mind is about how to change our thinking. Because others will keep generating those same emotions that we just, you know, deleted in that last workshop. But it's a very important to know how to use the mind to get what you want in life.
Okay, so just very briefly, I know you don't want to tell us what the whole workshop is going to be about, but, you know, how can we just, very briefly, how can we change these, you know, these negative beliefs and thoughts that drives our feelings and behaviors?
Our choice. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the faculty of choice. So that thoughts are automatic. You're not choosing your thoughts. And the thoughts are creating your state of mind. So that's what I'm saying. So the minute, the brain can't think of two things at the same time. So when you think of, when the thought, automatic thought of negativity comes up, consciously change it to, you know what I used to do? Recite third kalima, because it is such a powerful kalima. And you recite your third kalima and your brain can't think of two things. That's the way I used to shut off my mind so the thoughts can't come in. So keep your mind occupied with dhikr. Of third kalima, of whatever dhikr you want to do. If you are keeping your mind occupied with that, thoughts can't come in. So you block the thoughts. And when you need to think, because you've got to plan your holiday, or you've got to plan your day or whatever, then you use your mind and you create your day or plan your day. But when you don't need to use your mind, it's a computer. Turn it off. And how you turn it off is keep it occupied with dhikr, or consciously use it to send nice thoughts out to the world, send out loving thoughts to your children and to your family, and you know, so consciously make new choices.
Okay, and this obviously will change your life dramatically.
Man, when you change your beliefs, you change everything. Mm-hmm. Everything in your life is going to change. If you're walking east, you'll be walking west. I mean, this one neuroscientist, Dr. Dispenza, wrote a book called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. And his book covers a lot of all of these latest insights in the brain science. And it's so important to break that habit of being you, because we don't even realize it, but we are like robots that are, you know, living the same, doing the same things day in, day out, thinking the same things day in, day out. And we're going to go like this till our graves. And unless we actually change and make a, put out a goal that says, okay, my goal is I want to make it to Jannah when I leave this dunya. Okay, what steps do I need to take to get to that? You know, I'm going to have to make my namaz, go into obedience, make my salah, zakah, be kind, be good, help people. I'm going to have to behave in a certain way to reach that goal. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm wanting a happier life, I'm going to have to use my mind to say that, what am I going to do to create a different reality? Right, I've got to change my thoughts. I've got to, and then once I start changing my thoughts, I'll start changing my feelings. So if I've got a negative thought towards somebody, and I change that thought to a more positive thought, it actually changes my vibration. It makes me feel better. So it's all in my hands. I've got to change the way I think, which will change the way I feel, and ultimately will change my results in life. But like I said, your thoughts and feelings are generated by your beliefs, which are held in the subconscious. So you've got to actually go to the hard drive of the computer, the subconscious, and start clearing programs there. And that's what you will learn at the workshop.
Okay. Yeah, Jazakallah Khair. It's wonderful to know. But now maybe just share with us quickly, when is, you know, where is the workshop taking place, and, you know, when is it happening, and contact details for them.
Well, okay, inshallah, we're going to have it on the 10th of November. The venue, my sister is just going to confirm with me later today because she's, you know, I think it's the Tiba Center or something like that. I'm actually looking to see if there's a masjid that's got a hall that we can teach from, because in Pretoria we teach it from a masjid.
Okay.
They've got an auditorium, so we teach it there, and it's very nice to be in that environment. And once I did teach a workshop at the Masjid of Salihin, and I want to go to Lens and see if I can secure another venue.
Okay.
So the venue will be announced way before the actual workshop.
Okay. So
you know, whoever is interested can WhatsApp me, and then, you know, if they're booking for it, then I will give them the venue as soon as I know.
Okay. You can share that contact number with us. But just before that, if you is this open for all? I mean, maybe you've attended the first and the second workshop. Is it necessary for you to have attended those to be able to attend
this
one?
You know, initially it was going to be structured that way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when I started developing the manual for this mind workshop, and I just thought, no, and I've changed the format. You don't have to know how to muscle test, for instance. So even people who haven't done module one and two, where we use the muscle testing to access information from the subconscious, even if you haven't done those modules, you can still come and do the mind, change your life workshop.
Okay.
Because the format is different.
So it's
still
open
for... the same content, but it's just making it available to more people.
Okay, just your contact number quickly, please.
For the WhatsApp is 079-509-3647.
Okay. Jazakallah khair, Dr. Hajra, for talking to us again. I really do enjoy speaking to you, and it's so amazing, you know, just
and
thinking.
Masuri, and thank you from my heart for giving me the space on your show, because really I just want to share as much information as I can before I die.
Oh, you're not. No, inshallah. No, but it's wonderful. Jazakallah khair, and we hope to speak to you again soon.
Inshallah.
And all the best with the workshop coming up.
Jazakallah. Thank you so much.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, so those details are available. Please call me or call the radio station. The number is available here at the radio station. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.